I'm Stuart Monteith. I was born in Gisborne in 1925. I shifted to Hawke's Bay in 1953 when I got married, and in 1956 I became a member of the county club. I've got two children, a son David and a daughter Prudence. I was farming. I married Eve Donald in 1953. That's when we shifted to Crownthorpe to live. I joined the county club really because of friendship. I knew very little people in Hawke's Bay at the time, and joining the club was a good move. Now, you asked me about snooker and billiards, one thing or another, and I have taken part in those things over the years. Club day for me was usually sale day, which used to be a Wednesday. You also asked about the servants at the club, or stewards as they were in those days. I do remember them. They were great chaps, and when you entered the door, you wanted to go to the club. If you weren't a member, you had to ring the bell and a steward would come and find who you wanted to see. We had a visitor's room, which I don't remember that very much about because I didn't use it after I became a member. There were card rooms and all that sort of thing there, reading rooms, but I was not a card player, so I can't give you much on those. You also asked if wives were invited to the club on occasions. Well, they weren't really until about the 1970s. And then we had what was once the reading room became an entertainment room that the woman could go into and you could get them a drink if you wished. You also asked about the Mark Recapa Bar. Yes, I remember that. And that was all donated by Peter Grieve. He cut the timber down on his farm and it was beautifully done and put in. And the significance of this was that this bar was that Albert Jensen was then the manager of the club. He was the proprietor of the Pacific Hotel prior to that, and he evidently had a bar of that shape at the Pacific. And when they were redoing the club, that's one of the things he asked for, was the big circular bar. Now, you also asked here about meals served at the club. Well, we always got a lunch at the club. You could always go and get a lunch at the club. But different managers came and went, and we had one there that had experience of being a chef, and they tried having meals on a Friday night, and he was the chef. Like, his name was Williams. I can't tell you any more than that. But that had a bit of a rush on it for a while. It was quite successful for a short period, and then it seemed to peter out. So that was given up. Tell you a lot more, really. I still see quite a lot of the county club chaps. I'm a member of the Havelock Club, and quite a few of them joined there, and that's where I see them.
How about you tell us about what you can remember about the stewards?
Well, the stewards, I remember, was Dick Burfield. Another one was called Bert, another one was called Snow. I don't know their surnames. That all phased out. We ended up with woman bar persons that served the lunches and what have you.
Can you give us a rough idea when that was, a date?
I would think about the 70s, really, at a guess. Another thing I must mention about the club is that one thing I really look forward to, every year they had a dinner and the wives were invited. And that stage, the club had about 500 members. So they were quite a big do. And as a young member, I remember the first time I went to the dinner, it was in the billiard room. And they covered all the tops of the billiard tables with special boarding. And all the food was served on the tables. That's the only time I remember it being in the billiard room. As the numbers dropped in the membership, they held the dinners in a different part of the club.
Who were some of the local identities that you knew may even still be alive, and maybe a wee bit about, if you know, who they worked for or where they worked, what they did?
Yeah.
You could put the farming people into, well, like the stock agents. They were very much the fore too, because they used to come in afterwards.
Okay.
And, well, you know, after hours, and that was a great social time, wasn't it, for them?
Another thing I remember is that we used to have snooker evenings I'm not sure just when they were, was it once a month or what it was, but about five of us went in from the Crownthorpe area, and they were always played at night, so people took turns in taking their car. And that was discontinued too after a few years, and those chaps were Laurie Lowe, a farmer from Otamari, Bert Tressida.
Ken's a member, his son's now a member.
Yeah, and Ken's still a member of the club. I can't recall the other names. But so many of the people that I knew well at the club, unfortunately, have all passed on. Mm. Members that I still see would be Campbell Jackson, an ex-farmer, Ken Tressida, also an ex-farmer, Peter Wilkinson, he used to farm at Tutira when I did. Now, Les LV is another chap that was a president of the club. He's into his 91st year. He's still going. He lives at Taradale. He was a manager of the seed department in Lona Mercantile.
And you mentioned the stock agents that came in.
Yes, there's lots of stock agents that came in. Doug Grieve, Hawke's Bay Farmers. Buster Craik was another Williams and Kettles man. He had something to do with the seed department. Yes, Apple Hutton, Jim Scotland, all Hawke's Bay Farmers chaps. All these people are gone now, but they were all businessmen at Hastings.
You mentioned that you still mix with some of the members at the...
I do.
That North Club. Yeah. Who are they?
Well, that would be Campbell Jackson, Ken Tressida, Peter Wilkinson.
Occasionally Mick Small.
Mick Small used to, yes. Michael Thompson, Bob Grant, Jim Harvey, people like that. Yeah, all Hastings people.
You also mentioned earlier, which I don't think we recorded, some of them that you knew enjoyed playing cards, card room.
Oh, that was Tressida and Stan Small and Mick Thompson. They were very keen on their cards. There were other people that played cards, but I can't recall who they were now.
So it sounds like to me the dinner was sort of like a highlight.
Yeah, absolutely.
A very important event. Have you any other fond memories of things you did with any of these people or because of your connection with the club? Or?
No, but in the 80s, I'm not just sure when we started it, but Bruce Tweedy, an ex-member of the club, or he's passed on now, he was very good at organising trips, and we made several very good trips out to the different places. One, we went up with the Rangers up and four-wheel drive vehicles. We drove right up to a very high point and saw a lot of country that a lot of people hadn't seen before. Another time we went out to Cape Kidnappers and went all through the sections that they're fencing off for wildlife. They were great days. We also did a trip right up towards Booker Tea Tree, crossed over through the forestry and came out towards Tutira and stayed a night away. Another trip, I think they did right up the coast to Te Puia, but I wasn't on that one, unfortunately. And we've got pictures of those, they were at the club, I don't know what happened to them, of the groups of people, and the dates were on them. I don't know if you have got hold of those or not.
I have no idea. Yeah, you know, these little bits you've added on about the tripping and weighing and so on, I think it's important. I think it's good because it's bringing a bit of, not just a bald statement about the club, it's a bit more interesting. It's bringing the people into it. That's what the club is for anyway, it's for the people.
And they had a meeting there every month that went on for quite some time.
So would you like to say something about how close it was to females and how they were, quite honestly, how they were treated? Which was normal in those days, but we would find very strange today.
I could say that, I suppose, yeah. I know if you were at the club and your wife was calling for you, you rang the bell and the stewards would answer the door. They were asked to wait there while they came and told you you were wanted. Women weren't invited into the club at that stage.
In fact, they weren't allowed over the threshold.
That's right. As the club changed, they put in a ladies' toilet and cabins things there, which wives were allowed to come into the club and use. I just can't tell you the dates of those either. I would think about the 70s or something like that. Those sort of things started to change.
Is there anything I don't mind if we have you talk, because while it's about the county club, it could be worthwhile having your input as to how you found the association, if I can put it as a almost excluded female from the club because it was a reality.
It was very difficult to get beyond the front door, but I must say they were always just done with such an aplomb that, you know, you took it for granted that that was what it was. I was very pleased from my point of view when they did open it up, because it meant when we came in from the country, well, I could use the club and I could go in and wait for Stuart sitting in an armchair instead of standing on the doorstep or freezing in the car. So to me that was a big plus. And later on the women gathered on Friday evenings, and we had a group of us, our friends were one side of the river and we were the other, and there was equal numbers, and we had a lot of fun about the boundary of the river and how we enjoyed it. And then we always used to go off for a dinner afterwards at some restaurant before we went home. So that to me was the social side of the club, as well as the dinner. And I think the wives really enjoyed being included. Not every day. I mean, we didn't want to trespass into the men's domain, which we didn't have a chance to do, but the dinners and the social evenings was a really good thing.
They made teams up to challenge other clubs. We used to play two clubs in Napier, the RSA and the Napier Club, it must have been. Also, they used to play the Waipakarau Club. I think they went down the evening by bus for that. They were definitely a lot of fun. We did play for a long time against Havelock, and then that was for some reason stopped, and just before the club closed we'd started up the challenge again. We also had a town versus country, and you put your name down to play. They were great nights.
Town always won?
No, they didn't always win, no. No, no.
So the competitions were bowls?
No, just snooker.
Okay. Yeah. You didn't have golf competitions between the clubs?
Yes, they did. That's something else they did. Chap Reed had a menswear shop in Hiratonga Street. He became a president of the club, and he was very keen on golf, evidently. And they always played a Gary Reed Memorial Cup. And they played a golf tournament once every year out at Bridge Bar. And teams were made up for that.
And that was internal rather than involving other clubs. It was an internal
thing. No, just an internal thing, yes. You put your name down, yeah, and play someone at the club. At times they got a professional billiard player who would come to the club and demonstrate shots and things and play one of our better players.
Do you remember any of the names?
Yes, Ellie Chilton. He was an ex-professional. I think he might have been an Australian, actually. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that came. There were several of them, but his name sticks in my mind.
No, that's fine.